going on out there, everybody? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, as always, my D&D amigo, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios sipping on a, let's see here, this is not fizzy water. This is a Gatorade Fierce Grape.
It smells fierce. Loud.
I got over some ice here and a...
Right, I mean, it smells loud.
You remember a couple years ago when that word, like, fierce, people were using that all the time. Now it's fire. Like, oh, man, that's fire. I'm like, ah.
No, I don't.
People, I mean, I didn't say that because I'm 45 years old now, but I could hear people that was, they were using that all the time, younger people. And I was like, what in the world? Like, some words, like, last forever. Like, that's cool. But nobody really says, you dig, man. Like, nobody says that anymore.
They should.
Bring it back, I guess.
They should.
You certain, dig? Certain slogans, I cringe when I hear them. I don't know. Fierce is one of them. So I don't know if Gatorade is trying to ride that wave. But I have never had. Now, of course, Gatorade Grape. That's like one of the originals. You remember when we were kids, they came in glass bottles.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And there was like lemon lime was a
that's still my favorite punch. One. The original.
Grape. I like the original ones too.
The
I
mean, original's my favorite.
I will say, out of the new ones, I do like the cucumber flavor.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty good, yeah.
But I'm with you, man. I'm like, it's like hockey with the original six. Like, I like the original six flavors. Like, there's nothing wrong with them.
There's nothing wrong with it. Not at all.
I like Body Armors too. But like, I'm not big on Powerade. I know people are like, what? Yeah, I'm switching the sports drinks, y'all.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just.
Yeah, this will last all of about till the end of the show.
No, man. Like when you get some Gatorade and put it over ice, I think it's refreshing.
Or you could be an adult and drink black coffee like I got.
Well, I've already had three cups of coffee this morning. So
he's got the jitters. How many people you murdered?
Three is all I can handle. Once I get to like four, it's like I'm on meth. I start shaking and stuff.
I've never been on it. What's it like?
Oh, it's awesome. I don't know either, but I can imagine it's awesome. Because there's a gas station near our house, and right next to that is a like place where people who are recovering drug offenders or whatever, they go there and they try to get clean. So there's always like a couple of them hanging around. And you can tell some of them look like it's working, like they really are trying to clean their life up. And some of them you can tell you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time.
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff sometimes in that parking lot when you pull up.
But that's what it looks like.
Empty your pockets before you go in.
When I have four cups of coffee, that's like too much. And I'm not talking about like a Keurig or something. Like I grind my own French press it up. So it's stout. But man, I had already had a couple cups of coffee.
So you're good to go.
I'm good to go, man. I am excited to be here. We've gotten a lot of emails this week. I think you might have started something with your Not Dear episode you did a couple weeks ago. Because since then, not only have we received a lot of emails concerning Not Dear sightings, but friends of ours on other websites and other podcasts have been getting the same thing happening over there. Because I know I talk with Lon all the time. And he's been getting a lot of not deer sightings all of a sudden. So it's strange, right? I think it's a coincidence in the whatever plane of existence we're on. But a lot of these things are coming forward or people are experiencing them.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Speaking of cool experiences, we got an email here. Check this out. It says, hey, guys, love the show, but please do not use my name on the air. I've gotten enough crap for this after the few people I've told it to. Several years ago, I moved to northern Idaho. I was always a hunter growing up and was excited to live somewhere with a more dense forest and more big game to hunt. Since I was new to the area, I went out with one of my coworkers for my first few trips. We became good friends and became good hunting buddies. About 2 years ago, we went out for elk. Speaking of that, it's September, it is elk season. About an hour south of the Canadian border. We went out and were scouting the area before we actually went on the hunt. We had been hiking for a few hours through fairly dense woods when we came up on a small clearing. It was about 20 yards by 50 yards. Before we entered it, I told my friend to stop. Something about the clearing didn't feel right. And he said, "You have a weird feeling too?" I said, "Yeah, almost like it's a trap." We agreed to go around the clearing and continued on with trying to find a spot. We ended up finding spots and marking them with our GPS. The next weekend, we came back to hunt. We got there about 2 or 3 hours before sunrise and started hiking in. We split to go to our spots, and after about 30 minutes of walking, I found myself in that same clearing. I no longer had the weird feeling, but I knew that I didn't want to be there. I ducked back into the woods and continued on to my spot. After about an hour of sitting there, I heard something moving. I could not see it, but heard leaves moving. Then it got quiet, real quiet. No birds, no bugs, nothing. That's when I saw it. About 30 yards east of me, something was in the tree. I looked at it but couldn't tell what it was. I raised my rifle and looked at it through my scope. My heart sank and a cold chill ran down my back. My first thought was, that's the predator, or something from the abyss. It had a human shape, but looked like it was made of water. I could see through it, but it was distorted. It was crouched down on the branch like it was looking for something. I texted my buddy and said, get over here now. Stay quiet and stay out of sight. Our spots were about 30 minutes apart, and after about 45 minutes, he showed up. By this time, that thing had come back a couple of times and was now in a tree about 50 yards away. I said, what the hell is that? At first, he didn't see it. I was like, what are you talking about? But then he froze and his jaw dropped. We both sat there paralyzed with fear. After about 10 minutes, whatever it was left back into the woods. And we hauled our butts out of there like we were being chased by a lion. Never looked back and just kept running. We got back to the truck and sat there for a few minutes, quietly staring into the woods. Not looking for anything, just looking into the distance, each trying to understand what we saw. I started the truck and we did a quiet 2-hour drive home. No radio, no talking, just quiet. He and I still have not been back to the area and don't want to. We never felt in danger from it, but also we don't think it saw us. I don't know if it was looking for us or something else, but I don't care to find out either. He has since moved to Wyoming and I now hunt to the south. I had no idea what I saw until recently I heard one of your episodes talking about it. I dropped my coffee and I spilled it all over my truck. I saw exactly what you were talking about. I sent a link to the episode to my friend, but he never responded. I had no idea others had seen what we saw, but knowing we didn't imagine it makes me feel better, but also more scared that it was real. Love the show. Keep on keeping on. And of course, he doesn't want his name revealed, but I appreciate the sighting. Thank you for sending that in.
The Glimmer Man.
And your buddy's with a guy that lives and hunts up in Idaho,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
We should, what's his name? Rob?
Rob.
Yeah.
Rob Batuto of the Stick Bow Chronicles. I need to
see if he knows anybody up there that maybe has had similar experiences.
Yeah.
He's got a cool podcast.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the paranormal.
Him and Blake Hunter.
Traditional bow hunting.
Yeah, it's all trad bow hunting.
Like to check
and then
it out.
Aaron jumps on there from Kefaru and then all that stuff. And then, yeah, we harass each other on the reg. Rob has had some family tragedy here recently.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so all the good vibes, man. All the good vibes.
Yeah, I saw where Troy Fowler, the ranch fairy, was on Kefaru Cast recently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was on there, yeah.
He's from our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
That guy's silly. But he tells you how to make real good heavy arrows.
Adult arrows.
Yeah, that's right.
Adult arrows.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Glimmer Man... It's still one of those things where you're like, what in the world are they seeing?
How bad would it be to see that? It's one thing to see it, okay, follow along with me, in a state park, or to see it like while you're driving or while you're out hiking is one thing, because you can jump in your vehicle and you can leave. When you pack in on a hunt, it's a whole nother thing to see it, because now you're out there with it. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to eat the tag, pack your gear, and just haul it off the mountain because you... Did I imagine that? Did I really see it? And you're like, no, you're going to hang on.
Well, and I
keep
think
hunting, and then that's going to stick in the back of your mind the rest of the time you're there.
And it's even worse for a bow hunter.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that people are delusioned when they see it or hear it, and they think in a TV, like, man, if I had a gun, I wouldn't be scared. Dude, I'm telling you, it's a lot harder to hit something with a gun than you think it is.
In the dark.
I mean, it's just, it's when not
you
the
got
same.
When you got your adrenaline dump.
Oh, right.
That cortisol and your hands aren't working proper, Right? Like that's, there's a, yeah. I mean, when,
and it's cold.
That's why there are people that are, you know, there's people that are really, really good at baseball, really, really good at like finance. People are really, really good at the guitar. There's also people like Tim Kennedy that are really, really, really good at killing other people, right? That's what they're good at. So those people, you see it in a movie and people get delusional. I know I was the same way, right? As you were a young man, you're like, oh, I could do that. I could do that. And as you get a little bit older, you're like, no, like that's not for, I can shoot, but I don't think I can do that.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you watch like, you know, if you're on Instagram or YouTube or anything, you go and watch like video footage of actual like gunfights and stuff. It doesn't look like it does on TV.
No, it doesn't. Well, first of all, I'm down for a television gunfight. I ain't down for, you know how, this is how I know that I wasn't that good at it. If you've never played like real serious levels of paintball, then you won't understand how fast you can get shot. So.
Well, I see these old guys in town. Now, we live in a state where people can open carry guns.
As of September 1st.
But I see these old guys, like in their 60s, they have not only a pistol on their belt, but like multiple magazines on their belt. I'm like, how big of a gunfight are you looking to get in where you're going to have to reload three or four times?
Well, I'm going to tell
you. You know
this.
What I'm saying? Like, yeah,
I'm
okay
with that. Huh? I'm okay with that because I always think back to the movie The Unforgiven with the guy with one arm when he's reloading his pistol.
No.
And the dude goes, "You got one arm and two pistols." He said, "Well, I don't want to get killed for lack of shooting back."
I'll tell you this. I'm going to be in those guys in the videos where you start hearing gunshots and you just see the guys booking it. That's me.
I don't mind fighting from a distance. Just like I play my character in Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, if you've ever been in a real gunfight, you might not be so anxious to get in another one. That's the way I'm putting it. I've never been in one. I don't want to be in one.
I don't need to be in one.
I heard bullets sting.
Yeah.
So I don't want to find out.
They sting.
Right?
Yeah. And we also aren't sure if bullets would even do anything to Glimmer Man.
Well, that's back to that. Yeah. I mean,
just a trad flag hanging out of its back.
I don't know how many times we get reports of people saying that it's like military tech, like their tractors. But why would somebody be way out in the middle, 5 miles up in a mountain in Idaho, just to play a prank on people? Doesn't that seem like a massive waste of time?
Why would somebody be in someone's home if you're in military, right? Because the last thing you need to do is somebody to shotgun you or you to trip and fall down the stairs and break your little arm thing. And now you're not invisible anymore and people grab you. And next thing you know, the military has something to explain of why one of its personnel was in invisible form hiding in somebody's bedroom.
I think the Predator's real. I think the Terminator's real because I've seen what Boston Dynamics is creating.
True, true.
I think all this stuff is real.
It's
and that
twirling,
the troll is on us twirling. By making us think it's just movies.
That's right.
Anyways, fascinating story. If you have something similar, email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
You brought up the not deer. Well, it just so happened Lon sent me one, and this one just popped up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like just popped up yesterday. Listen to this. It says, I only ran into the not deer once, and it was about a mile away from my own house on a gravel road that cut through some forests, fields, and goes right near Goose Creek, South Carolina. I couldn't have been more than 13 at the time. I walked the forest and deer paths all the time and had encountered everything from a swarm of bats to an angry fox and even some drunk guys taking a leak on everything. But I had never felt threatened before. Now, it was strange because at first I felt what everyone was describing despite being somewhere I usually considered to be more my home than my own bedroom. The moon was high in the sky and swollen with light, so I could clearly see the forest around me. But the despising, spite-filled, watchful presence came from everywhere at once. I was on edge and only had a small knife with me, but I took it out. My entire soul was screaming that someone, not something, was there and that they intended to hurt me. I wanted to run as fast as I could back to my house, but something stopped me from walking further or just sprinting off. Some sense that if I passed a specific point in the trees, I wouldn't survive. And from that exact point on, the trail, the not deer, slinked out from between a cluster of trees that should have been too close together for them to even get through. Now, what was different to me was it felt like it was part of the forest itself. And it had giant branching antlers, the kind you never see in real life because they get broken during mating season or the bucks get shot during hunting season. They seemed more like crowns or swords than anything else. And these monstrous antlers were getting bigger because this deer-like creature, that in no way resembled a deer, was shambling towards me. It was huge and majestic, similar to an animated drawing. My first instinct was to fight it. I was already palming my knife, despite having a visceral vision of exactly how this fight would end, with me wishing I was dead. I was ready to die in that moment and hopefully take whatever this thing was with me. That must be the mind of a 13-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something stopped me. I have no idea what it was. But something reminded me of all my other experiences in the same woods and how every other time I wrapped myself in it, that no matter what strange thing had happened before, I had accepted it and it, in turn, had tolerated me even if it couldn't accept me. So that's what I did. I mentioned earlier that the not deer felt like part of the forest. Enraged and vicious, but still familiar. So I let it wrap around me. It was an insane experience, and to this day, I don't think I've felt the kind of purity of hatred that I did in that moment ever again. It was like someone had hijacked my emotions and just turned spite, disgust, hate, and rage up to 100 and everything else down to zero, but only for a split second. The moment I felt that swell of emotion start to ebb, the not deer stopped coming towards me. We just looked at each other while I struggled to breathe after having every negative feeling shoved through me. And they left. Just hopped away into the trees and bushes and left me to continue my walk home. I did go out that night on the very same trail and just wandering through the forest many nights after that. That was the only time I ever saw the not deer, but it wasn't the last time I felt their eyes on me. Watching to see what I am, what I'm worth, if I've changed enough that I'm no longer worthy of life that they let me keep. I used to be one of the forest, and I think that kept me safe. But I've been living in city apartments for over 5 years now, and if I go back, I doubt I would walk those paths alone at night again. I'm not sure if the forest still has a claim on me, and I'm not sure if the not deer will still find me worthy.
Wow.
So it seems like they've had some very strange, like emotional and physical connection to the fae. That's exactly what this sounds like.
It doesn't sound like this is a physical, non-typical deer they saw. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It does almost seem fairy-like. Like they're witnessing something, like what would you call it? A nature spirit?
Well, it's some sort of fae creature, yes. I mean, that's... You and I have discussed this off air before, making jokes about it from like Hellboy 2, whenever you see like the old king and he's got the antlers that come out, mm-hmm. and he, you know, and he had like one hand or whatever and all that. Of what if the not deer was like that? What if they shapeshifted and that's how they moved around as fae, and maybe at older ages that they can't quite get it right. So right. That's the reason that they can't quite draw it in. When I say older ages, like maybe if it's a fae, maybe this thing's 600, 700, 800 years old. Like we don't know. And that over time, of course, as they've gotten older, it's faded on them. But the idea of it having certain antlers and the way it was growing and the way it was moving and then the feelings and the emotions. I'd like to talk to Joshua because I'd like to know if he's found anything in all of his work.
Joshua Cutchin?
Yes. With all of the fae stuff that might tie into this not deer stuff, because I just feel like everybody talks about how it's evil, right? Maybe that's another thing. Maybe it starts out as decent, and then over the years of it being there, it kind of devolves into what it is.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but it's disturbing, and it's awesome, and I love not deer stories.
I do too. And along with not deer stories, one of the most popular subjects we get emailed and asked to talk more about are in fact stories of dog man or werewolves. So I think we're going to share a couple today. Check this one out. It says, hey guys, first off, I'd like to take the time to thank the two of you for putting out an amazing show. I like how you don't judge others for their strange experiences. I like the way you two have an open mind and expanded perspective. Anyways, that is part of the reason I decided to share my story with the two of you. My grandfather told me this story when I was a teenager, and I'll never forget it. I'm 56 now, and this story has stuck with me ever since. Part of the reason this story has remained with me all of these years, so vividly in my mind, is for two reasons. One, because of the fantastic tale my grandfather told me, and two, because my grandfather was a no-nonsense type of man. He grew up hard. He grew up poor, in a very rural part of Canada. Like you two always mention, they just don't make people the same now. They made them different back then. They were stronger, tougher, and not ones to complain or tell tall tales. My granddad told me all kinds of stories throughout his life, and I believe every one of them. I don't think he has ever lied to me. I asked my mother if he ever lied to her, and she doesn't believe so. That is why this story is so life-changing, but it's because it's completely unbelievable. But my granddad swears it's true. So do I. My granddad grew up in the remote woods of central New Brunswick, Canada, in a very remote area where only hunters go now. Their whole family lived out in the sticks. They lived off of hunting, fishing, trapping, and doing some logging. Granddad said that when he was a teenager, he and his older brother, David, were up in the early hours of the morning. They were checking trap lines on an old motorbike. It was early fall, towards the end of October, if I remember correctly. Frost was on the grass, and the early morning mist still hung around the forest edges. He was rolling cigarettes with his brother, and they were out of matches. So they dipped a bit of cloth in the gas tank and ignited it off the coil wire. While his brother David kicked the bike over, the sound of a bike being kicked over without an ignition is sort of like an animal call. That's how my granddad described it. Anyways, just as they started smoking their cigarettes, my grandfather noticed something bounding through the tree line towards them. Granddad said it ran in a way a bear did, but different. It stopped several yards away from them and stood up on its hind legs. It was still too far away to tell what it was, but they assumed it was a black bear because they're very common in that area. He grew up around bears his entire life, so he was super familiar with what they looked like, how they acted, and if they were a threat or not. He said for some reason, something just seemed off about this bear, like something was not quite right, but he didn't know what. He got this very strange feeling and tried to warn his brother, but his brother ignored his concerns. He said his older brother started to give him a hard time and teasing him about being scared of a lonely little bear, and he just discredited all of his worries. My granddad said he told his brother again and pleaded with him. He told his brother, David, listen to me. Something is wrong. That's not a bear. His brother laughed and said, what do you mean? That's not a bear. Of course it is. My granddad then said, just look at it. It's not moving right. That's when his older brother stopped playing around and got a bit more serious. You could see the expression change on his face as he realized his little brother was right. Something was different about this bear. He said the two of them just watched it for a while, trying not to reveal their location, but that didn't work. It saw them. That's when it began walking upright and towards them. As it got nearer, Granddad said it looked like a huge werewolf. His family origin was German, so as a child, his ancestors told him about them in the old country, but he never believed it. That is, until this moment. It got as close as 20 feet away from them, and then began to eye them closely. It sniffed their smokes and then turned and ran back to the trees. They could finally breathe again, and they just looked at each other in shock. They couldn't move, but at the same time, they didn't want that thing to come back, so they got the heck out of there. They both promised each other that neither one of them would ever tell anyone else about what they saw in the woods that day, and my granddad kept his word until his brother died in the early 80s. Granddad said it was taller than any man. It had a huge head. It had evil eyes, long, upright ears, hands with long claws, and had hair all over its body. It was a very dark gray in color and had legs like that of a wolf. I never went back into those woods for the traps after that, and I don't blame him. He told me this story a long time ago, and it stayed with me all of these years. Did he really see a werewolf? If not, what did he see? He never mentioned the story again. I still think about it often, especially on long drives or whenever I'm in the woods. His sighting took place sometime in the late 1940s. Thanks for all you do, Joseph.
Wowzers.
So, I've never been trapping before, but I've definitely been hunting. Well, lots of times in the early morning, when it's cold out, and oftentimes with my brother, the two of us, you know, I mean, that was a hobby you did. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine seeing something like that, but you got to talk again, like we point out on the show all the time. For some reason, it's more credible when it's someone who's an experience is experienced with what they're dealing with, like with a pilot, when he sees something strange in the air, like to me, that's a more credible sighting, right? Because that's something he does.
Yeah.
Same thing as this. When you're a hunter and a trapper and growing up in the sticks in an area, you're familiar with the wildlife. Like you intimately know what a raccoon looks like. Mm-hmm. You know what a coyote looks like. So these guys would know what a black bear looks like. And what I find interesting is if I could key in on one phrase, this is common in a lot of the sightings. His grandfather said, it's not moving right.
Yeah.
That's often talked about with these dogman sightings is people are like, it doesn't, I'm not going to say it's glitchy, but it doesn't look like it's moving right.
The same with the not deer.
Same thing, right? Like I think it's hard for people to describe what they mean. And of course, I don't know exactly because I've never seen anything like that, but that's a common thread. Is they're like, man, it's just not moving right.
Well, you have to also think about that movement and our eyes picking it up. Excuse me. My allergies are cranking. Is also a huge thing in the wild because it's how predators hunt. With the movement is like you always talk about with a limp. You see a limp in an animal in the wild. That's what the predators key in on because it's out of the ordinary. Mm. So anything out of the ordinary. So it comes naturally to your eye. I mean, any human eye, anything like that is you get used to that gait, that certain gait, like we've talked about with the rakes, we've talked about with the not deer,
right.
All of this, dog man. So when you have that feeling instantly of like, I know it looks like this, but it's moving like that, that's where people start getting that feeling. It's because you're so used to noticing, like you take anything that you see all the time and then change that little bitty bit, it's enough. It's one thing to do it with like equipment, right? We're the whole deal. It's a whole nother thing to do it with something that is flesh and blood or what you perceive to be flesh and blood.
Right. Well, that's what I wonder. Is it something that's trying to copy something that's in our mind? Like everybody knows, that's why it's called the werewolf. It may know that you know what that is, but it can't pull it off. Or is it physically a creature out there that people are just misidentifying? It's a bear, but it's got something wrong with it. I don't know.
I think it might be a blend of both. It is a physical, maybe it could be a physical creature or something like that that's trying to pull it off. Like
I mean, I've heard most people's descriptions, it's a demon that's manifesting itself in that form to try to scare you.
And maybe that's its limitations, is it can't manifest, at least this variety can't manifest any closer to a human, or maybe this is all its strain does, or its species, or its whatever it is. This is all that it does.
I don't know.
You talking about that made me think of another one when you were talking about the age of this sighting that I'm going to share. And I have shared this a while back and I'm just going to get into it. It says, I'd like to pass along a true story told to me by my grandfather when I was a young man. This story involves my great grandfather, whose name was James McNamara. He was a patrolman in the New York City Police Department, and this incident occurred in October of 1911, great year for making pistols, during the late evening hours. James was assigned to the theater district in the area of Broadway and 42nd Street. Another patrolman by the name of Dobbins was two blocks south on Broadway near 40th. theatergoers were walking about and enjoying the Great White Way when suddenly there were, I guess that's the name of a play, when there were screams emanating from an alleyway just below James's position. Both patrolmen ran toward the ruckus, forcing their way through hundreds of fleeing pedestrians. As they reached the alleyway, a tall, hairy beast ran out onto Broadway and towards 40th Street. Neither patrolman could believe what they saw. An 8-foot-tall wolf with human-like arms and legs, running with skill and speed down the middle of Broadway. Soon the beast was facing a New York City Packard squad car, so it changed direction and moving back towards McNamara and Dobbins, the beast was growling as it moved forward. The patrolman took positions by a newsstand, hiding and waiting for the horrible creature to move before them. Soon, the beast was at the entrance of another alleyway near 42nd Street. Both patrolmen pulled their revolvers and took aim. The beast quickly dropped to the gutter. Immediately, McNamara and Dobbins surrounded the body as other officers joined them. None of the public was allowed to come within 100 feet of this unknown canine, and the body was quickly removed and taken to the mortuary. Both patrolmen were placed on other assignments. The squad was told by their superiors that this was simply mistaken identity and that the deceased was a man in a costume. And of course, this was not the truth. The press was later told that a large mad dog caused the disruption and that none of the public were injured. And then a few months later, a brief article was published in a Louisiana newspaper called the St. Mary Banner in Franklin, Louisiana, and picked up by a few other media outlets. And then, of course, it has the article here I'm going to read to you. It says from New York, no sign remained in the Broadway Theater District the next morning following the scenes that were enacted there one night when a maddened beast charged up and down, spreading terror, causing handsomely gowned women to faint and strong men to leave their cocktails untouched and flee for safety. That lion with the burning tail that broke loose during the Coney Island fire last spring was a tame affair in comparison with the Broadway monster. The beast is described in the police blotter as a large terrier, but it is evident that the police were anxious to minimize the seriousness of the panic. Hundreds of the witnesses will testify that the animal was at least 8 feet tall, its foaming mouth and wicked fangs were too terrible for description. The beast was seen first at Broadway and 42nd Street. With a blood-curdling bow wow, it rushed up to a beautiful woman as her companion rushed to her assistance and fearlessly planted a kick in the monster's hindquarters. You're going to love this. Ki-ya, screamed the wild thing as it tore off down Broadway. At 14th Street, two boys, with their foolhardiness of youth, tried to seize the animal by its tail. The beast turned upon them and bayed horribly. On to 39th Street, scattering pedestrians right and left, raced the great dog, if dog indeed it was. At the corner, it emitted a whine that was even more terrifying than its growl and turned back the way it had come. As the beast ran back, patrolman McNamara and Dobbins drew their revolver. Dobbins shot straight and true, and the monster keeled over in the gutter. The police have offered no further statements. So how wild is this?
I mean, listen, 42nd and Broadway, that's Times Square. So I'm picturing...
Is that where you got your posse?
Yeah.
They're on Broadway, right?
I'm picturing...
Word.
Like American Werewolf in London when it's running down the streets of London and it's snapping at people.
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing in my mind.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like it was attacking anybody. Like people were pulling its tail and it was whining and stuff, but it didn't look like it was like ripping people's heads off.
Doesn't feel like it's a real dog man. It feels like it's a wolf or something that may have gotten loose.
That's what I'm thinking, but it's still terrifying.
Yes. Still terrifying.
And that's another thing. When it comes to like skinwalkers and stuff, they talk that it takes the form of a wolf, but it is a man, but it looks like a wolf. It doesn't look like a werewolf. See, there's a difference between looking like a wolf and a werewolf.
True.
I mean, obviously people know that, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is when it comes to stories of shape-shifting, lycanthropy, skinwalkers, there are lots of different descriptions. Now, what happened there in New York City, I have no idea, but I like the story.
I love the story. I love that time. But the whole idea.
I hope it's true. I hope it's 100% true.
I do too.
Check this one out. It says, hello, Cam and Kyle.
What's up?
I listen to you guys all of the time, and I strangely feel like I know the two of you.
Word!
Even though we've never met. I've been a fan of the show for years now, and have finally decided to share my story with the two of you, as well as the other listeners.
We're way cooler in your mind than we are in real life.
Right? That is 100% the truth. That is, if you guys wish to tell my story on the air. My story took place when I was a child. My family had a bunch of land near the Ottawa National Forest in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. My dad, two older brothers, and my uncle were avid outdoorsmen and were always going hunting and fishing on the family land. There was a little cabin on the place, and that's where we would stay and spend several weekends a year. I wasn't really into hunting at the time, but I liked to go and just stay at the cabin. The event took place over a couple of days. I can remember it like it was yesterday. It took place one fall during deer season. We were all up at the cabin for the weekend. The guys would all go out and hunting, and I would stay behind at the cabin and make food for them when they all returned. I liked it because they would all leave for several hours, leaving me to the cabin all by myself. It made me feel all grown up for a few hours at least, kind of like I was living by myself. My dad, my uncle, and my two brothers would all leave at the same time and go to the multiple hunting locations they scouted out on previous trips up to the cabin. I distinctly remember one evening when they all got back and my uncle was acting a little strange. He didn't seem his normal joking self. He looked a little white. He looked a little nervous. Normally he was quick to talk about what he had seen while he was out hunting, but not that night. He hardly talked at all. The next day, they all went out hunting again. And when they returned, my uncle looked visibly upset. He began quickly and frantically moving around the cabin, packing up all of his things and loading them into his truck. My dad and brothers were concerned and were asking him, like, "What are you doing?" He was shaking and yelling at them all to just leave him alone. He said, I'm done. He said he was going home. We were all a little worried, a little concerned, and like, what gives? He said he was leaving, and that if we had any common sense, we would too. My dad took him by the arm and led him outside of the cabin, out to the truck. I could see them through the window in a loud verbal disagreement out by the truck, but I couldn't make out what they were talking about. But the discussion was heated. Finally, my uncle got in the truck and left in a big hurry. My dad came back into the cabin and told us everything was okay, everything's all right, don't be worried. My uncle had some things he needed to take care of back home, and that's why he left. I knew this was a lie, but I kind of forgot about the whole thing for a while, that was. We stayed a few more days and then went back home. Now fast forward to about 12 years later. My uncle was in a very bad automobile accident. He was hospitalized and died 4 days later. After the funeral, we all went back to my aunt's house and were eating and drinking and just socializing with the entire family. At one point, I found myself out in the garage where my father and a bunch of other relatives were just hanging out when someone brought up a very strange story. My Uncle Bill asked my father, "Hey, do you remember that crazy story Jerry talked about up at the family cabin?" My father had a look of concern on his face and said, "Yeah, we probably shouldn't talk about that right now." And they kind of moved on. But I was like, whoa, wait a second. What is Uncle Bill talking about? What story? My dad kind of looked at me and said, "Do you remember the time up at the cabin when your Uncle Jerry got real upset and left the cabin in a hurry?" I said, "Yeah, actually I do remember that." He then told several of us that he had a strange encounter with something he couldn't explain. At that moment, my Uncle Bill yelled out, "He saw a werewolf." Everyone in the garage was like, "What?" My dad went on to say that he was correct. That evening, my Uncle Jerry said he was on the way to his tree stand when he came across something terrifying. He saw a large, dark, fur-covered creature that looked like something from the movie The Howling. He said it was 6 or 7 foot tall and was walking around on two legs. What he saw, he said, was something demonic, something not natural, something not of this earth. This hulking beast was the most evil and terrifying thing you could ever imagine. He said he could tell it was pure evil, He could feel it in his bones. Whatever this thing was, it was standing in the clearing and was slowly walking upright, just looking around, looking at its surroundings, sniffing the air, and slowly making its way through the woods. He said it moved with purpose, but he didn't know what. It had this strange strength about it, both physical and metaphysical, like it was in this world, yet shouldn't be. He just watched it in shock, not really knowing what to do. Yes, he was armed, but he knew that trying to use his rifle would be a bad mistake. He just stood there in awe of this strange and frightening creature and wondered, what was it? Why was it here? He began to think that maybe he's losing his mind. He told my dad that something is wrong with this place, this land. It's cursed and you shouldn't hunt here anymore. And for God's sakes, don't let your children around here anymore. Get out of here as quick as you can while you still can. It didn't see him, but he wasn't hanging around anymore. He gathered all of his things and left in a hurry, never to return. In fact, after that event, he rarely spoke to any of us again. Now, I'll remind you, he was an avid hunter, and he said it definitely was not a bear. He left that evening and never went back to the cabin ever again. I don't know what he saw, and my dad said he didn't know either, but Jerry was different after that night. I wish I had more details. I miss my Uncle Jerry. He was always a kind soul. After listening to your show and several others, I think my uncle saw a dog man. Thanks for all you do, Andrea.
Wowzers.
I like these stories.
Yeah.
I like the stories of people. It wasn't just in both accounts I've read so far, like they didn't see anything, but someone close to them did, and they could tell it visibly shook them. And I get it. If you were to come across a story from one of your uncles or your granddad, it would stick with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can still remember stories my grandfather told me as a kid. 9, 10 years old. Yeah. I still remember them. Some of the details might be different in my mind, but the gist of the story remains the same. I'm pretty sure I would remember if I heard my uncle or my grandfather saw a werewolf.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I have a cousin that I always called my uncle, and you met him, and we went hunting with him a few times in Colorado. He passed away last week. He was always telling me stories about, he had so many mountain lion experiences whenever, not just in Colorado, but also whenever they grew up down around Possum Kingdom when he lived out there. Because he was constantly bow hunting and out there around it. And of course, he never shot one, but he was like, man, it seems like I'm one of those people that go out, everybody else, you know, never sees anything. And he's like, and I see the big cats all the time. Like, I bet he probably had 9 different stories of seeing them or encountering them while they were in the woods. It was one of those things. It was pretty wild. Yeah, it was a pretty wild thing. I have a story here that's different from anything that, I don't know. It's just, it's completely different. So this comes from one of our listeners from West Virginia named Darius. It says, hey guys, love the show. My lady and I just found your show during the lockdown, so we've been binging on it ever since. And I wanted to share something that happened to us in the summer of 2019, here where we live in Charleston, West Virginia. My girl and I had spent the evening with some friends eating and having a few drinks, and then we went down to the Had. Now, the Had is the Hadad Riverfront Park. It's a great riverwalk area with an amphitheater and live music. And there's boats that dock and then tie off in the river, and it's just a fun place to go. Now, I had to look this up after I read about it. Dude, it looks cool. Hmm. Like, you would dig it. So anyway, it says, we walked back to our friend's place and hung out there for a little bit longer. And we stayed pretty late, and it was well after midnight. My girlfriend and I decided to head back to our vehicle. But at first, we wanted to stroll down along the river. Say what you will, but I'm a romantic. Says we hadn't been on the sidewalk long when we noticed something out of place. This park has a row of trees, and then a bank down to a sidewalk, and then rocks that lead down to the river. My girlfriend saw it first and froze. She grabbed my arm and quietly asked me if I saw this thing and what I thought it was. Now, this thing was backlit some, so we couldn't really see the details, but we were still about 75 foot from it at this point. It seemed to be busy doing something, and honestly, I thought it was a cat at first, because that's all I could think of that would be up in a tree. We moved in a little closer, like we were half as close, so I'd say 45 foot, and then it noticed us. It whipped its head up, and I could see pointed ears, but not the kind of soft pointed ears like on a cat. but more of a very profound point. It stopped doing whatever it had been and proceeded to crawl out of the tree like a lizard or a squirrel would, and when it hit the ground, it slipped behind the base of the tree. So, my curiosity getting the best of me, I moved up like 10 more foot, and this creature comes out from behind the tree on 2 feet. Now, it runs or walks or whatever the hell it did with enough skill to look like it had done this before. Now, it crosses the sidewalk in plain view of my girlfriend, down the rocks, and slides into the water like a man would have, half wading and half diving, and then it's completely out of sight. Now, my girl said it looked hairless to her, but I think I saw fuzz on it, but it was dark and this all happened so fast. I would say standing that this creature was no more than 30 inches tall on its legs, and it moved very fluid, not awkward like I had expected. Now, we took off back to our place and didn't really dig into it. We just kind of played it off and didn't really bring it back up until recently, and she talked me into sending this to you guys. Now, I think it looked like a goblin, and my girlfriend said a demonic fox with no hair. I don't know what could climb trees, walk and run on its back legs, and then dive into a river and swim off. And also, it looked proportional, not like an otter with real short legs, or not like a rat, but it looked like it was, well, made to walk upright. We've not seen it again, and even mentioned it to our friends, but nobody really has any answers. So there's my story. Thanks for the great show, guys, and I look forward to hearing you guys discuss it. Thanks, D.
Wow.
So what the hell?
You know what I'm picturing in my mind is like the cat-looking werewolf that Michael Jackson turns into in the video Thriller.
Oh, hell yeah.
Where it looks more cat-like than dog-like.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like the way you described the ears, the like the tufts of hair that stick up on a lynx's ear.
Maybe it, you know what? Maybe it is. Yeah, but what walks? That's what's crazy. Right.
And swims.
And swims and runs. I like how he said it crawled out of the tree like a squirrel would or something like, mm-hmm. So it didn't jump or drop out. It crawled down, slipped behind the tree, and then comes out running towards the water, which, so here's my silly way of thinking. If you were trying to make an expeditious retreat, okay, let's say that you were trying to get away from danger.
Mm-hmm.
Would you drop down on all fours?
No.
Personally, would you drop down on all fours? No, you're faster doing what? Running, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think this thing, if it were made to run on all fours, it would be faster on all fours? But it chose to run, walk out, notice, take off running.
That's a good point.
And then run down into the water and then vanish down there.
I like the way it crawled down the tree like a squirrel would, like Spider-Man or like a vampire.
Yeah. And I would like to know. I wonder if it... Like, did he watch it crawl the whole time, or did it actually, like, crawl? Because, you know, a squirrel will put you in between the tree, in between, rather, danger and itself.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, did you see it? Like, I wonder if it come down and then crawled around? I don't know. But the whole idea, it makes me wonder, Catman. Are there any Catman sightings?
Where? Tabaxis?
Tabaxis. Yeah.
Maybe.
Tabaxi sightings. Folks, if you have a Tabaxi sighting or a Catman sighting of any sort, send that in to us. I want to know.
Right. And speaking of sending stories in, we got a pretty recent call into the show where a guy was out fishing and he had a, I don't know what you want to describe it as, almost an abduction. Ooh. Something strange in the woods. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Tim Stars. Feel free to use my name. I have a story I got to tell you guys. It'd fall under missing 411 strange encounters. It just happened to me yesterday. Today's August 30th, so this was August 29th. I was hiking and fishing at a high alpine lake. This lake is called King Lake. It's located in Indian Peaks Wilderness, right outside of Eldora, Colorado. I hiked up. It's about a 5-mile hike from the trailhead to King Lake. round trip, about 10 miles. Early in the morning, I got up there at 6 in the morning, made it to the lake by 8:30, set up shop, plenty of people around. The lake sits right underneath the Continental Divide, and there's a trail up there. So a lot of backpackers and people were coming down off the Continental Divide. Fairly busy place. The elevation's about 11,000 feet. Nothing strange happened while I was fishing. However, when I was walking down, I expected to see a lot more people because I'd been watching them hike down from the Continental Divide down the trail back to the parking lot. I was about a mile from the lake. So this is about 4 miles from the parking lot. This is where I expected to see a lot more people. Fairly busy day. All day I could hear wind, the creek, squirrels, birds. Earlier in the day, I heard an elk call, saw a moose. It was a fairly busy day via people and animals. However, I'm walking down, like I said, about a mile from the lake. The forest gets eerily quiet, beyond eerily quiet. I can't fully describe how quiet the forest actually was. It was almost as if the trees were afraid to make a noise. The blades of grass were as still as it can be. Everything was very still. And I got incredibly drowsy and nauseous out of nowhere. Could not tell you why. And I wanted to take a nap. And I said, I can't stop. I need to go. I need to just get to the parking lot and maybe the sickness will pass. And then when I decided to do that, I picked up my pace a little bit. And I heard a very strange noise. The noise I can only describe to you is a mix between bass from someone's car and a gong. It was very subtle, and I don't think I would have heard it if the forest wasn't so quiet. And it was almost metallic and bassy and kind of like a gong. And it rang out, and it made my ears ring. Immense pressure in my ears. And I just thought to myself, I need to sit. And I said, I cannot sit. I need to make it to the parking lot. And it got louder. And eventually, I said, I don't want anything to do with this. I need to get home. And that's when everything stopped. It was like a switch had been turned. And the birds started chirping. The breeze went through the trees making noise. I could hear the creek again. Airplanes were flying by. And instantly, I got feeling better. Nauseous was gone. Drowsiness was gone. I was fine. And it just rattled me. I don't know how to describe it. I really don't know what would have happened if I sat down because I was feeling so sick. Anyway, that's my story. You guys are amazing. Have a great day. Bye.
And there you go. Thank you for the story.
Wowzers.
I don't know what happened. It sounded like he narrowly missed something bad happening to him. People often describe, whether it's stories of time slips or not, they talk about it going quiet in the forest. They feel something ominous. Mm-hmm. They hear a strange sound. They don't know, but nothing happened to him, thank God. But very interesting story. If you have any stories you'd like to call into the show and tell, that number is 888-393-2783. If you don't feel like calling and telling the story, but you'd prefer to write it out, email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. I love it when people send their stories in. Much of our shows lately has totally built on listener stories, the sharing of stories, which I like because I've talked about this before. Everybody can go on the Amazon and you can buy books. And this happens a lot with us because we're constantly doing research for the show. Thanks to the elite members, that's what your subscription money is used for, is mm-hmm. the buying of research materials. But I can't tell you how many times I've picked up a book. Say it's, I don't know, about UFOs, just for instance. And 80% of the book is stories that I've already heard, right?
Yes, rehashed.
There might be one good news story in there. And then you'll buy another book. Same thing. You halfway through it, I'm like, man, I know all these stories. That's what makes the listener story so good. It's because these are stuff that you can't find in materials. They have to be sent directly to us. And it's only after doing it for so long that it's kind of, it's making its own course, right? It's like a self-perpetual engine, which is awesome. And speaking of doing the show for a long time. It is our 8th year anniversary.
Wow.
8 years.
Wow.
To the day, almost, since we released our first episode. I think it was September 13th, 2013 was the first episode.
I believe you're right.
Now, they're not all on iTunes or Spotify. For whatever reason, some of them are not up there. But if you go to the website, you can find every one. Cringeworthy, though. Like, the first couple ones are not that good.
It's not like they're good now, no, but I mean, like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. Well, the first couple of shows, I think we recorded in the kitchen.
We did, yeah.
Off some used stuff we bought off eBay.
Yeah, yeah. We recorded in the kitchen. And
now
then,
now they make mics specifically for podcasting. They make all in one kits, the Rodecasters, and the Behringer has their own version now. Everybody does. It's a different world.
It's fun to see it change.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, I love it.
What's funny
is, I love that it's a thing.
If you go back to those first episodes, we were so giddy. We didn't know what we were doing. We were excited. It's cool to be sitting here 8 years later, still doing it and having so much interaction with you, the listener.
Yes.
Like, literally, it's everything we dreamed it could be.
Oh, yeah. It's when you start, much fun.
Like with any business, when you start, you have all these big dreams, but you don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Somehow, it's still working.
I don't know how.
Well, it's because of the listeners.
That's right. It's because of y'all.
It's the sharing of the stories. Yeah. I still, at the heart of everything, that's what everybody likes, right? This is a virtual campfire, and we're sitting around telling tales.
Yes, for sure. 100%.
And I like it. What do you got planned for your week?
Dungeons and Dragons. My daughter comes home. And then whatever they decide to tell me that I need to do.
Oh, okay. Honeydews and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know what else we've got planned. I don't know if we're going to go visit with some more family. I'm sure we're going to go visit with the granddaughter and go see all that because my daughter's jumping up and down to go see her. So she gets in and goes through all of that stuff. So the rest of it, I don't know.
That's also, I forgot to tell everybody about your recent trip to the movies with Luke.
Oh, yeah. And dude, we had a big time.
It was a pretty good movie.
Dude, it's one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Tell them what you're talking about.
The Ten Rings. Is it Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings?
Yang-Chi.
And the Ten Rings.
So we all went, and Little Fizzy was like, man, can Uncle Cam come? And I was like, well, I'll tell him. It's not our theater. He's welcome to show up. So Cam, of course, went with us when we get there, and Luke's like, I want to sit by him. To me, I'm like, awesome. Because he normally never stops talking to me. I could hear him down there, and I could hear the two of them giggling and talking. Can't even say that. Sometimes he would just like kind of zone out, and then he would be back.
Oh, it was great. I had to work it down into hand signals because he was getting so excited. He couldn't. Man, he was pumped. So he couldn't be like, you'd be trying to watch the show and he would be trying to ascertain your feelings about what just happened. And what did you? So I'm like, look, let's all do hand signals. So him and I started doing like thumbs up if we liked it, or we have all these different hand signals, and we were down there laughing. Dude, we had a great time. Him and I had a great time. And then now he wants me to go with him to all of them. So
the new Venom is coming out.
Yeah, we got to go see that.
What is it? Carnage, Venom, and Carnage.
Whenever Carnage hit the screen, he jumped up and took off all the way down to you to make sure you saw that Carnage was on the screen.
Right, as if I'm looking in the corner or something. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware.
You know, this screen's huge. It's the only thing in the room, right? Yeah, we had a great time. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I heard that movie did really well in the box office.
It should. Dude, it's great.
Man, Marvel just, they have it down to a science, don't they?
Well, and it doesn't hurt that I love those type of Asian movies anyway, where they're fighting and flying through the air. And dude, I'm about it.
I wish you could really fight like that.
Oh, you wouldn't, where you would jump in the air and it went.
Yeah.
Your clothes are flapping when you fly.
Just the amazing moves.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon style, where I'm running along like giant pieces of bamboo.
Yeah, I remember the first couple of fist fights I saw at school. Like, it looked nothing like what I had been watching on TV.
No.
But I was still young enough thinking that if you just learn the technique, you could do it, right? Unfortunately,
the exploding heart technique.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of guys out there in their 50s that still think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, if you focus your chi,
McDojo life,
they can't hurt you.
Yeah.
Like, man, I wish that were true.
Dude, I've tried a lot of chi focus and it don't help me at all.
No, I focused. I had my chi smashed flat lots of times on the jiu-jitsu mat.
That's right. Yeah, my chi's got bruises.
Right. Well, I hope everybody has a good time out there. Be safe. Don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. If you want to hear more, just go to the website, expandedperspectives.com. Click on the Elite tab, signing up is easy. $5 a month. Like I said, you'll be helping out the show, and you'll get more content. Till next time, folks, be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Oh. peace, y'all.